First Corinthians chapter 13. That's a familiar one, isn't it? There you go. Hey, as I was greeting folks we haven't seen in a while, here's Carrie Arnie. She's been out with a bum tooth. Two bum teeth. But you don't have them anymore. They're not bum teeth anymore. She had to have them extracted, and it sounds like it was quite a bit of work. Even some reconstructive stuff they might have had to do, and so sorry that you were down, but we're glad you're up and at it again. Good. First Corinthians chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm just going to say it once, and if you're reading in the New King or in the King James, you know why I'm doing it. Charity, what's that? It's love. That's what that word means. It's not handouts like people say, we don't do charity. Well, it's love. That's what this word means. So that's what I'll be reading. I'm not misreading. I'm just keeping from saying it every time you come across. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I have become as a sounding brass or a tinkling or clanking cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burdened, and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not or does not push itself forward, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly or in a wrong manner, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never fails. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. I trust the Lord will add his blessing to his word. Let's look again in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the opportunity that's ours to be here. I thank you for these who have come today, who made the choice to gather in the Lord's house with the Lord's people to worship the Lord. And I trust that's why we have come. I pray that you have received glory already in the gathering. And I trust that you are going to continue to receive glory service continues as we turn to your word, as we wait upon your Holy Spirit to give us the proper understanding of your word. There is so much confusion about this word in our day and age. Oh, it's the buzzword on the lips of people in the world. You know, what the world needs is love, if people would just love one another. And yet, they seldom have a clue of really what that means. I pray that you would teach us the truth of what God's love is and the love that we ought to strive for. Bless each one who has come, meet each need. We wait on you, we look to you with thankfulness, and we thank you even now for what you're going to show us. In your name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. And I'm going to ask Mike Stoker, if you would just give us a two-minute update about Sandy, your wife, who is in Wellbridge, isn't it? Recovering from, his words were, staph pneumonia. Could you just tell the folks, bring us up to speed, because we have been praying for her.
I appreciate the prayers, Pastor. She is on the verge of coming home as the university has shown. She has a strong voice, she has some strength, and she seems to be improving. So the shortness of this will be Wednesday or Thursday, she should be back.
Wednesday or Thursday can't come too soon, can it?
Well, she's going to have a lot of help with me. I can't get this thing.
Okay. Well, anyway.
They have some testing done at home that's going to help you do it.
Well, what I meant was, you know, when there's someone not at home that's supposed to be, you can't wait to get them back home again. That empty house. All right. Thank you for that update. Well, with your Bibles open to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, people quite often take inventory of their assets. What do I mean by assets? Well, depending on who you talk to, things that are of value, maybe a building, machinery they have, land they own, a house they have, etc. Usually, these are totaled up to determine the net worth of a corporation, of an individual, a family. Once they've totaled up all the assets, then they are, well, here's the net worth. Now, here's something for you. Suppose, though, that when all the assets were totaled up, it was discovered that they were completely worthless. Everything that this person thought was an asset, truthfully, is just worthless. How would one feel? I think we know, don't we? Well, as we look at today's text in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, our goal this morning is to move us from things that are worthless to things that are worthwhile, or things that would be profitable. As we think about this, you know, 1 Corinthians 13, that's often referred to as the love chapter. And we just completed in Colossians this series on the epistle of Colossians. And at least on a couple of different occasions, we find that Paul had made reference in that letter to the people in the city of Colossae that he wrote that letter to, he had mentioned things like in chapter 2, verse 4, or 1 and 2, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. I would or I wish that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. What do you mean by that, Paul? How are hearts supposed to be knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ? And then I think about how that later on in that same book, in chapter 3, he was talking about certain things. When we remember, we were in that passage, things we were to put on, like you would put on a garment, or things you were to put off. Well, in that third chapter, one of the things that he mentioned about, in beginning at about verse 12, as he was mentioning, put on this, put on that. We got down to verse 14, and after he had given the list of important items to we work at, we aim at as a believer, he said in verse 14, and above all these things, put on charity or love. Above all these things, put on love. And he called it the bond or the glue of completeness. Now, as I mentioned a while ago, the world likes to talk about love. You see it.
You are garbly. Andrew said to put the pulpit mic up and for you to have both of them on, but adjust the volumes.
I'm garbly.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
How to make friends and influence people. How would you like to be told you're garbly? There you go. Well, sorry. I thought maybe somebody had some food back there. I saw people racing back there, and I thought I was about to miss out on something. Anyway, the people, you can't go very far or very many places without seeing it on bumper stickers, billboards. You hear people talk about love. You just need to love one another. If this world would just love one another, things would be so much better. What do they mean? What do they mean, love? You mean walk up and plant one on somebody? Is that what love is? At the conclusion of the Colossians series, someone came up to me and said, Pastor, if you wouldn't mind maybe going a little bit more in detail, I mean, Paul has mentioned it numerous times in his epistle, and you know, there is, the world talks about it all the time, but what the world calls love doesn't even resemble what God tells us true love is. And the person said, maybe it would be helpful if we just have a good review of some of the details about this thing that everybody talks about, but hardly anybody's doing it, as far as the truth is concerned. And so, with that in mind, we today have moved in that direction. And for you note takers, on this this message, which is entitled Worthless Assets, if you noticed in your bulletin. The first point of this would be in verses 1, 2, and 3, love's importance. Love's importance. Now, this, let me just say that this chapter that everybody knows about, and we quite often pull it out and read it or memorize it, and people say, well, that's one of my favorite chapters. This chapter is in the context of ministry for the Lord. Why do you say that, Pastor? Because if we go back into that 12th chapter, we find that Paul says in verse 27 of chapter 12, now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. Now, from the very get-go, when he says, you are the body of Christ, we know this, that Paul is speaking to whom? He is speaking to someone who has truly accepted the Lord as their own personal Savior. He is not talking to the man on the street in general who has no regard for the things of the Lord. He's talking to those who have given their life to Christ. They have turned from their sinful ways, and they have been, by the work of the Holy Spirit, placed into mysteriously, actually, the body of Christ. And they are a part of the church. This building is not the church. The church is comprised of every person who has ever put their faith and trust in the Lord as their own personal Savior. They are called the church. It's not a building. And because it, Scripture gives us in chapter 12, we could go back, and it goes in great detail, and it tells us how that we are members of his body. And just like your body, as you look at it, you hold up your hand, and you have one, most of us have one that, I think we all do, I think we have one hand of people here. We have a mirror image of it, don't we? We have one hand that you stick it out and the thumb goes south. And here's another one, you stick it out and now this one's going north. But we only need two. And so God didn't give us 15 of them, he gave us two. We have two ears. Most of us older ones, our ears don't work like they should. Oh, for the days of youth. We have two eyes, we have one nose, one mouth, thank the Lord. We only have one mouth because this one mouth gets us in so much trouble. Aren't you glad you don't have seven of them? Wow. The whole point is, our body is made up of numerous members. And every member is different. Every member has a specific purpose. And the truth of the matter is that we have learned is in the body of it, this teaches us, just like in our physical body, so it is with the body of Christ. There's differences. Now we go back to verse 27 of chapter 12. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. and God hath set some in the church. First, apostles, secondarily, prophets, thirdly, teachers, after that, miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities or different kinds of tongues. And Paul just listed some of the different offices in the body of Christ. Members, if to this one he gave that ability to be a pastor, to this one a teacher, to this one to have the gift of helps, just having that special gift of being able to help others. Well, is this one more important than that one, or that one over there? No, that's what we are seeing. And Paul says in verse 29, are all apostles no more than your body is one big giant mouth? We've got a little mouth on our face, and we need all those other. And just like the body of Christ, not everybody had that gift of apostleship. Not everybody was a teacher. Not everybody had the ability to work miracles. Not everybody had the gift of healings. Not everybody would speak with languages. It says tongues, but you know, in the New Testament, the gift of tongues was, if it was of the Lord, there were two things. Two things. Number one, when that first appeared in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came down on that group of people and everybody started speaking in different tongues or languages, there Jerusalem was filled with people from all different parts of the world around Jerusalem. And each one spoke a different language. And the beauty of it was, and the miracle of it was, that these untaught followers of the Lord, as the Holy Spirit came upon them, started speaking with a language that they never knew before. And it wasn't just blah, 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 blah. But here was a person from this region, and they were hearing and understanding in their own language the gospel. But here was somebody standing over here that spoke a different language, and they were hearing this person upon whom the Holy Spirit had given that gift. It was the gift of languages. He said, well, there were two regulations. Later on, Paul in the book of Corinthians said, here's the second thing about this gift. If there's a group of people gathered together and somebody all of a sudden stands up and starts blah, 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 how are you going to know if that's of the Lord or not? He said, if there is someone present who will interpret so everybody can hear, that is of the Lord. But if there is nobody present, then you tell that person to stop his jabbering, because that's not of the Lord. And so we find Paul says, that's why he put do all in verse 30. Do all interpret? No. But he says, notice how he ends verse 31, chapter 12. But covet or desire earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. What is that more excellent way? Love's importance in verses 1, 2, and 3. And Paul now, in that context, he begins to speak and show us the importance of this matter called love. In verse 1, he says, though I speak with the tongues or the languages of men and even the language that angels speak, and have not love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. What he's saying here in verse 1, love's importance, as he points out, the most eloquent or fluent speaker. He highlights that in verse 1. The most eloquent or fluent speaker. What teacher? What preacher? What lay witness? What person wouldn't like to be able to speak fluently to others? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I'm just going to ask you to ask yourself. How many of you have tried to witness to someone? If you feel like you have just stumbled, choked on the words, you didn't know what to say, I wish I could sure speak like this, like Paul mentions here in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 13. Suppose God gifted me with the gift of speech incomparable to anyone before me. We would say, that would be something. Well, let's ask ourselves, suppose that were true. And that's what Paul is supposing here. That's what Paul is suggesting. Though I speak with the tongues or languages of men and of angels, golden lips, words that just, you can have people sit on their heads of their seats and just eat up every word you're saying. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? But let's see, what kind of an asset is that? Is that important, or is that worth something, or is it worthless? Paul says in verse 1, suppose that's true, but I have not love. I am not speaking out of a heart of love. These eloquent words that I am saying, these words that have people oohing and aahing, just listen to him. What a message he's giving. But Paul says, let me put it in perspective for you. If it's without love, all it amounts to is a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. How many of you would like to hear sounding brass? Somebody just beating on brass. Or even a cymbal. Now they've got their place in an orchestra. When the composer's manuscript has brought the orchestra up to that place where there's going to be this climax, and all of a sudden this person has kind of been standing there with their eyes half closed most of the concert. They suddenly awake because they know that my time is coming. And when it's time, you bang that, and in the context, what is that? That added something to it. But how would you like to just hear somebody just walk around going up and down, maybe in your backyard, maybe in your house. Yeah, let it be something for them. It would be offensive. It would be something that would be not appreciated. It would be not of any worth. If somebody is just beating on a piece of grass or once in a while banging those cymbals together for no reason at all, they see you sitting there and you're about ready to doze off and they come along and bang right behind you, that'd be great, wouldn't it? Well, that's what the most eloquent or fluent speaker is. If their words do not come from God's love in their hearts. Now remember, context of ministry, serving the Lord, serving one another in the name of the Lord. Verse 2, let's look at the most spiritually gifted person. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries. Do you understand all the mysteries in the Bible? I don't. Gift of prophecy. Remember, at the time this was written, the gift of prophecy was to be able to be given from the Lord. And let's keep in context, at the time this was written, the scriptures were not fully intact. There was still more revelation being given. And those who had the gift of prophecy by the Holy Spirit would be revealed previously unknown truth, and they would speak it to the group of people that they were with. That had come from the Lord. Now, Paul says, though I have that gift, and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and get this, and though I have all faith, in fact, so much that by faith I could just remove this mountain and remove that mountain. We would look at that and we'd say, whoa, that'd be something, wouldn't it? There are those religions, denominations that like to major on these, what we often refer to as these showy gifts, because the attitude was that, you know, if I had this gift, what people would really, they would really look at me and they would pay attention to me. And here Paul in verse 2 says, you might have the most sought after gifts of all of them, even to perfection, so that you could move a mountain by faith. But if I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I am not exercising these gifts in the love of God and in the power of the Holy Spirit, I am worthless. This is no asset at all. I may have and exercise these gifts, understanding, comprehending, trusting in all situations. I may be sought out because people recognize this person, they've got it. And they even look to you as a spiritual giant because of the way you exercise your gift. But let's keep in mind what Paul said here in verse 2. You may be able to be doing all of those things, but if you're not doing it in the love of God, it's worthless. Number three, in verse three, the third in verse three, we're still under number one for you note takers, love's importance. But in verse three, he now speaks of a person who we would call the most selfless and self-sacrificing person you'd ever want to meet. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. Now, let's just stop right there. Isn't that a commendable thing? Isn't that a commendable thing? You know, here's somebody, they'll just give you the shirt off of their backs. And anytime they hear of anybody who has any need, anybody who's financially strapped, oh man, Paul said, though I start doing that, and though I even give my body to be burned, I might even give up my own life for someone, Paul said. And yet what? If I don't have God's love motivating my ministry and my efforts to do that, oh, people may talk, boy, he's, now you talk about a genuine Christian. There you go. Oh, let me tell you what they, Paul said, you can sacrifice everything you've got, even your own life. But is that an asset if it's not done in the love of God? No, it's not. Without love, it profiteth me nothing. It profiteth me nothing. So, love is important to the Christian life and ministry. Let's move on. Number two, for you note takers, in verses 4-8, let's look at love's ingredients. What is this thing really anyway? What is this love that Paul is talking about here? Well, we're going to go through these verses, and really we're going to, if you want to make a couple of columns on your note page there, you could put on the left side, love is, and on the other side you can say love is not. So the first thing that we want to look at, okay, what is love? Love, verse 4, suffers long. On our good side, love is long suffering. We find that it seems to demonstrate itself with people observe and they say, you know, I know what you're going through, and I just don't know how you keep going. How do you keep doing that? I would have quit a long time ago. I would have said, I'm tired of this. I've had it. But love suffers long. How long? I can hear some of you say, it isn't enough, enough. Well, let me ask you this. How long has God put up with you? Aren't you glad God is long-suffering with you? I'm certainly glad that He's long-suffering with me. I'm glad that He hasn't said, "All right, Jerry, you're done. I've had it with you. I've done this and this and this and this and this for you, but you know what? This is how you respond. This is how you thank me." And I've just had it. I'm done with you. Not God's love. And this is God's love that we're looking at in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And by the way, where does this love come from? It comes from God. And the love that Paul in Colossians was pointing people to was not their, "Well, I'm just gonna be more patient with my husband, and I'm gonna be more loving to my children, and I'm not gonna be losing my temper, and you know, I'm just gonna show real love to them." The fallacy of that is love is of God. And this kind of love, it's not original equipment with us when we're born into this world. The only way God's love can flow through you and me is through the operation of the Holy Spirit, who indwells true born-again believers. We're going to get it later, but we just might as well get it right now. Love is one of the nine named fruit of the Spirit. That's why when the world says, "Oh, just love everybody, love everybody," the world doesn't know the Lord. And the world can't love everybody because it needs the operation of the Holy Spirit in the individual's life. So, the first benefit, the first good thing we learn about this is true love suffers long. How you do on that? Are you long suffering? Is there an abundance of it, or are you short? Also in verse 4, he mentions love is kind. Kind. We like that, don't we? How many of us like to be around somebody who is unkind, unpleasant to us? The truth of the matter is, you know, there are some people that are just downright rascals to those around them. Maybe you work with some. Maybe you live next door to some. They wouldn't know how to be kind if they didn't smack them in the face with the instruction manual. They don't know what kindness is. the world tries kindness, doesn't it? But it fails. And you know why it fails? Here's the way the world kindness works. I'm going to be kind to you as long as what? You're kind to me. And I tried being nice. I tried being kind to you. And that's what you give me? No thank you. No thank you. God's love is coming. Notice in verse 4, now we go to the other side of the other column. Love is not, it says, love envieth not. Love envieth not. What's envy? That is that feeling that builds up within us towards someone when we see that person being treated or receiving something, and boy, our old inners ought to be getting that. They don't deserve that. You should be the one that's receiving this award, this honor, this raise, this promotion. Look at it. They think they're really something. Envy. We look at them and we can't think a kind thought toward them because there's no love in our hearts. Love does not envy. Love, you know, if you, it seems like without God's love, it doesn't matter what kind of award or maybe it's new thing a person gets. Maybe it's a new car, a new house, new this, new that, some new toy. If there's love in our hearts, God's love toward them, there won't be those feelings of, look at it. You know, they're really showing off, aren't they? But with God's love, there's going to be instead, genuinely, I'm so glad they got that. I'm so glad that award was given to them. Boy, they deserved it. Not if envy's present. Next, it goes on here in verse 4. It does not vaunt itself. Boy, that's a 25-cent word, isn't it? What does vaunt mean? We use it all the time, don't we? Not really. We find here that I think we would understand the word boast, wouldn't we? Boast. My Bible has this under that particular verse. It does not push itself forward. Hear me. Pick me. Promote me. After all, I'm the batterer. You really need me. True love does not do that. And in verse 4, he concludes by saying, it is not puffed up. Is not puffed up. What's that? What do you mean puffed up? Well, the name for being puffed up is what? five-letter word, bride. Bride. And the problem with pride is the middle letter, isn't it? The middle letter is what? I. Genuine love is not going to be building itself up. Again, keeping this in the context of the ministry for the Lord. As a Christian, we have a ministry for the Lord. He has things, not the same, you don't have the same thing that the Lord wants for you to do that He has for you to do or for me to do, but as we serve the Lord, we have looked at these three, what might be considered assets, and think, oh, I could just serve the Lord so much better if I could talk better. Paul says, not if it's not motivated by the love of God. I could just serve the Lord so much better if I just had that gift, if I could just do more, some of those abilities, if I had more abilities. Not so without God's love. If I just gave more, if I just gave up more, if I just sacrificed more, that would really be something for the Lord. Not if you're not doing it with a genuine motive of love. And we have just scratched the surface. I intended to get all done with this. We have just scratched the surface, and you come back next Sunday. Not next Sunday. How about you come back tonight? It's not what I was going to preach this evening. But how about you come back tonight? Otherwise, you're going to have to wait 2 weeks, and you wouldn't even remember what the topic was 2 weeks from now. I know you. All right. We will continue picking up in this description of what love's ingredients are in our service tonight. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed in prayer, shall we?